In the first years of his papacy, Pope St. John Paul II made his first trip to the United States as the Pope. Newspapers and magazines carried articles about the Catholic Church in the United States, and even coined a phrase to describe some of the American faithful as cafeteria Catholics. By that, they meant that many American Catholics pick and choose what teachings of the church they would follow and which ones they would not. Those articles were offensive mainly because there was an element of truth to it. People claiming to be Catholic would say, "I am a good Catholic, but I am pro-choice," or "I am a good Catholic, but I don't go to Mass every Sunday," or "I don't believe in the real presence of the Eucharist." Sadly, we see this same thing happening in today's gospel, and as we all know, it still exists today. There are many people who want to change or simplify the teachings of Christ and his church to make it less demanding and more in line with popular culture. For example, despite the teachings of Christ, many people see the Eucharist as just a symbol or a mere remembrance of the Last Supper. We know, of course, the Eucharist is the true flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Our Lord has been making this fact very clear over the last several weeks in our Sunday gospel readings from John chapter 6. John, unlike the other gospels, does not have a Last Supper narrative, but rather uses John chapter 6 to explain the real presence of the Eucharist. But it takes a leap of faith, a total trust in the words of Jesus, to believe this. We just heard the disciples telling Jesus in the gospel that many of his followers were leaving him because they could not accept Jesus' teaching on the true presence in the Eucharist. Couldn't Jesus just tone down his teachings a little bit so everyone would be happy and stay? Jesus' response was a simple question to Peter and the other disciples. Are you going to leave too? We, like Peter, have a choice to make. Will we leave or stay? Truth has nothing to do with numbers or opinion polls. Truth has nothing to do with surveys or how many people believe something to be true or how many times you say it until you might believe it. Truth is from Jesus Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But we also know that many of us still are tempted to follow the herd. We want to fit in and go along with the crowd. It seems so much easier, and it is. In doing so, we are falling for the false belief that there is a new morality, a better way of doing things. Our pride and the world around us tries to convince us that we know better than Jesus Christ and his church. We risk losing our souls by falling for these lies of modern society. Proof of this can be found in the statistics that tell us that people who profess to be Catholic divorce at the same rate as non-Catholics. They cohabitate at the same rate as non-Catholics. And they use artificial means of contraception at the same rate as non-Catholics. This is done under the veil that immorality is now acceptable because everyone else is doing it. The number of people who commit a sin does not change the sinfulness of the action. The number of people who reject Christ's teaching on the Eucharist does not change the reality of who the Eucharist really is. Jesus makes it clear in today's gospel that it is better to be part of a small minority that has Jesus at the center of their lives than to be a part of the crowd that leads us further and further away from him. We need to be like Joshua and St. Peter in today's readings. Joshua wasn't swayed at all by the majority of the people or what they thought. He knew exactly where he stood with God when he said, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And St. Peter, when he was confronted with the possibility of leaving Christ over the teachings of the Eucharist, he made his greatest profession of faith. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Both of these courageous men made faith-filled choices to follow God and influenced countless people to do the same. It is all laid out for us. We have a choice. We can live meaningful, Christ-centered lives, or we can just join the numbers, be part of the cafeteria Catholic movement, and risk losing our eternal salvation by choosing to reject the teachings of God. Yes, there are times when it's difficult to follow Christ, and a lot of times that's when we know we are. Following Christ means taking up our cross. It means denying ourselves the passing pleasures of this world. Following Christ means being different than most of society. Pope Benedict XVI puts it nicely. "The world offers us comfort, but we are not made for comfort. We are made for greatness." Following Christ means being holy, for that is what holiness is, being different, being set apart for the sake of God. We need to be committed to a discipleship that some would call radical, but in reality, it is really authentic. If we refuse to follow him, where exactly can we go? Who else has the words of eternal life? Are we convinced that Jesus is the Holy One of God? We say we are. But if we are really convinced, then we really have no choice. Eternal life can only be found in Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 is a call to believe in the real presence of the Eucharist, but it is also much more. It is a call to trust completely in the Lord, even when we don't fully understand. Even when our physical senses and our abilities to reason can't comprehend the mysteries of God. It is a daring act of faith, a complete trust in Jesus Christ and in his church. Jesus calls us to be different from those who walked away in today's gospel, or those who just give lip service to Christianity. We are called to be holy. After all, that's what holiness is, being separate for the Lord. A call to greatness, a call to be saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.